نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم، صدق الله العظيم. Most respected elders and friends, mothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran al-Kareem, the Nabi of Allah is more closer to the believers than what the believers are to their own selves. We think we love ourselves, and we think we are self-centered to our own selves, not to realize that the Rasul of Allah loves us more than what we love our own selves. So why not? We give preference to the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam over every other taluk and relationship that we have in our lives. The ayat goes on further to say, the wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the mothers of the believers. In the past few days, we are talking about the Mubarak blessed wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, understanding the high lofty maqam and position of the wives of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We feel proud of having such spiritual mothers. And after having understood the high lofty maqam and position of the wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this really exhibits this ayat of the Quran Kareem in which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, At-tayyibatu lit-tayyibin wa at-tayyibuna lit-tayyibat. Pure men are for pure women are for pure men. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is pure, the purest of pure. So the wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to be equally pure to match Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the compatibility in terms of the high lofty maqam and position of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One poet, he addresses someone after talking about his forefathers, and he says, ulaika abai faj'ini bimislihim idha istama'atil majami'u ya jarir. He addresses his colleague, Jarir, in competing with his forefathers. And after presenting the accolades of his forefathers, he says that these are my forefathers. Can you bring the like of my forefathers in a gathering, O Jarir? I would want to add one statement after that. Ulaika ummahati, referring to our spiritual mothers, the blessed wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they are our mothers. Faj'ini bi mislihim idha istama'atil majami'u ya Jarir. That, O Jarir, can you bring the like of our mothers? Is there anyone equal to our wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Can there be anyone equal to our spiritual mothers? Indeed not. And we as a ummah, spiritual children of our beloved spiritual mothers, we feel very proud of the high lofty maqam and position of the Mubarak wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and our spiritual mothers. Apart from understanding who they are, their sacrifices, their purity of mind, purity of chastity, purity in every way, absolute purity, we are duty bound to even make dua for the Mubarak wives of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just as we would say, Jazallahu anna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima wa ahlu. Oh Allah, on our behalf, we can never ever pay Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But oh Allah, you pay Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on our behalf according to your lofty position and the lofty position of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should also make dua. Oh Allah, you reward the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on our behalf. We can never repay them for the sacrifices that they have made. One of the wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Hazrat Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha. Her father's name was Haris ibn Zirar. He was the leader of the tribe of Banu Mustaliq. Very, very powerful tribe. known for his richness and known for his wealth. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard that Haris ibn Zirar, with an army from the tribe of Banu Mustalik, is intending to launch an attack on Madinatul Munawwara. As in many instances when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would hear about this, on this occasion too, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided, before they can make a move and before we go on a defense, we should go on an offense and attack. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a group of Sahaba, and they came to the tribe of Banu Mustalik and took them by surprise. Launched a sudden attack on them, in which many people from the tribe of Banu Mustalik were taken as prisoners, many of the animals were taken as booty, other wealth was taken in booty, and one of the prisoners of war was Hazrat Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was the daughter of Haris ibn Zirar, who later on became a Muslim, therefore radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam distributed the booty and the prisoners of war, Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha, she went in the share of Hadith Thabit ibn Qais radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a sahabi. Thabit ibn Qais radiallahu ta'ala anhu concluded a deal with Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha, which is known as deal of Mukataba. Mukataba is when a person is a master, he has a slave, and he tells his slave, you pay me an X amount of money, and you would then be freed upon paying me that amount of money. So Thabit ibn Qais radiallahu ta'ala anhu told to Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha, you pay me an X amount of money as badal of kitabat, exchange of kitabat, part of this contract, and you would get your freedom. As a prisoner of war, where is she going to have anything like that? She then goes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you know that I am the daughter of Haris ibn Zirar, actually being a princess, because she was a daughter of the king. I'm a prisoner of war and I've been given in a share of Thabit ibn Qais. He wants me to pay an X amount of money to get my freedom and to be emancipated from the slavery. How do I do it? I have nothing. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam offered, I will help you. I will pay for your freedom, and you, would you not like to come into my nikah, come into my marriage? What greater opportunity can a woman have than the Nabi of Allah proposing to her in marriage? Immediately, Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha, she accepted the proposal and she got married to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in exchange of 400 dirhams. This took place in the 5th year after Hijrat. At that time, Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha was 20 years of age. Haris radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from the tribe of Banu Mustalik, the leader of the tribe, came to Madinatul Munawwara primarily to release his daughter Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha and to release the other prisoners. So Haris radiallahu ta'ala told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm the leader of my tribe. It does not behove my daughter to be a slave. I came to release her. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, why ask me? Ask Juwayriya. Does she want to be released? And does she want to come with you? Nabi Kareem sallam called Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala and told, here's your father. He's asking for your release. If you want to be released, you're well to do so. The choice is yours. Imagine, the father, the leader of the tribe Abu Mustalik, he the king, she the princess, she led a life of comfort and luxury at the lap of her father. And now, just staying for a few moments with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she now tells to her father, after having been in contact with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I don't prefer anyone over Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What an amazing answer. What kind of love can this be? What love Nabi has penetrated into the lives of his ummah and the lives of the sahaba. The father is shocked and surprised. Then Nabi Kareem told Haris, Ibn Zirar, those two camels, he came with few camels, but he hid two camels in the valley. The best of the camels, two of it, he hid it in the valley. Nabi Sallam told him, where's those two camels you hid in the valley? He was shocked and taken by surprise. And he said, nobody knew about these camels besides myself. Indeed, this information you got about the camels is from none other than Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He immediately accepts Islam and he submits himself to the Rasul of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Hazrat Juwayriyah radiallahu ta'ala anha, one very outstanding quality in her, apart from being the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and apart from serving Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one outstanding quality in Juwayriyah radiallahu ta'ala anha was her making lot of ibadat and lots of zikr. Just think, ponder, reflect. Her background, where she came from. She is the leader of the tribe of Banu, daughter of the leader of the tribe of Banu Mustalik. Whole life, tried until she wed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, led a life of comfort and luxury. Where would she think about namaz? Where would she think about zikr? Where would that be a system of her life? And now, after being with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Allah the Rasul telling them the objective of life, where is your journey, where is the destination of life, where you are going to go to the qabr and akhirat to meet Allah, that desire now is coming to someone. The person then gives his fullest to it. So Juwayriyah radiallahu ta'ala used to make lots and lots of ibadat. And I just mentioned one incident before I move on to the next wife of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One morning Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Juwayriyah radiallahu ta'ala anha only to return around Zuhr time. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the home, Juwayriyah radiallahu ta'ala anha was in the musalla or in the corner where she was making ibadat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returns, he found Juwayriyah radiallahu ta'ala in the same place, still engaged in ibadat. What devotion and dedication that must have been. But there's i'tidal, balance for everything. Whilst you need to make the ibadat of Allah, make lots of zikr, there are also other responsibilities. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told it to her in a different way. He told to Juwayriyah, from the time I left, right till now, you are sitting in the same spot. She mentioned, yes, making ibadat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that I just made four statements. I made just four statements, which if you weigh it with what you have done, it will outweigh what you have done. And those are the same du'as which we do in the morning after Fajr. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to Aisha, so Juwayriyah radiallahu ta'ala anha, four statements. Just it will hardly take you probably 1 minute to 2 minutes, but the weight and the magnanimity of these four statements is such that half a day of ibadat, this statement will outweigh it. Subhanallah adada khalqi. Subhanallah rida nafsi. Subhanallah zinata arshi. Subhanallah midada kalimati. Which means, glory be to Allah, equivalent to His creation. Glory be to Allah according to pleasure of Allah. Glory to be Allah according to weight of the throne of Allah. And glory be to Allah equivalent to the ink of the kalimat and the statements of the praises of Allah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned that I just mentioned these four statements, the ajar and the reward of that supersedes all the time that you have engaged in ibadat. Nevertheless, Hazrat Juwayriyah radiallahu ta'ala anha, she passed away in the 50th year after Hijrah, and she was buried in Jannatul Baqi, where all the other wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam are buried in Jannatul Baqi. When you enter Jannatul Baqi, then you go straight in front. Then normally the people will not tell you where the Mubarak wives of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam are buried, but those people who have the map and those people who have little experience, they would know there is one place. You go right in front and you can see very clearly that there are 9 stones there put there together. Those are the places where the Mubarak wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam are buried. Another great, illustrious, amazing wife of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Hadrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. In Madina Munawwara, there were two Jewish tribes, the tribe of Banu Nadir and the tribe of Banu Qurayza. These were apart from the other subsidiary tribes of these two tribes in Madinatul Munawwara. Now these two tribes living in Madina Munawwara, they always planned, plotted against Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The tribe of Banu Nadir, they once tried to assassinate Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam once went to them to ask for blood money for a particular incident. But secretly, whilst they welcomed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam behind the back of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they plotted to assassinate Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and told, O Prophet of Allah, move away from here, they're planning to kill you. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes to Madina Munawwara, and Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent a message to them that you either leave this place or get ready for war. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam then surrounded the area Banu Nadir, and then when they gave up, that's when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam banished them, exiled them from Madinatul Munawwara. From there, they went away to Khaybar. The other tribe of Banu Qurayza, we will be discussing that when we are doing the seerah, the biography of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. After the Battle of Ahzab, then the tribe of Banu Qurayza, they were then killed. Banu Nadir, the leader of the tribe of Banu Nadir was Huyay ibn Akhtab. He was a Jew, the leader of the Jews, and they were from the children, they were from the progeny of the brother of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. The tribe of Banu Nadir, they were Jews from the progeny and from the lineage of Hazrat Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. Now Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha was previously married. She first married a person by the name of Salam. Thereafter she married a person by the name of Kanana. In the seventh year, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba went to Khaybar, and when Khaybar was conquered, then among the prisoners of war, one was Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she came as a prisoner of war, so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam offered to her that I would get married to you. I would get married to you in exchange of freeing you. Freeing you and freeing you itself will be like the meher of the marriage itself. Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha accepted. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst returning from Khaybar, going to Madinatul Munawwara in a place called Sahba, not far away from Khaybar. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the walima took place of Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. In the book of Hadith, there's much mention of this walima. Nowadays, mashallah, nikah takes place. Walima is a sunnah. But if our intention is a sunnah, then try to do it in the way that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it, or something close to that. Not, there shouldn't be extravagance. There shouldn't be, in the name of the sunnah, doing things contrary to the sunnah. Otherwise, we're defeating the maqsad and the purpose of the sunnah. Purpose of the sunnah, you're doing it because we love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're doing it because that's what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. So when we are doing the sunnah, let us do it with the true spirit of the sunnah. Then we'll get the real ajar and the reward of the sunnah. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the walima of Safiya radiallahu ta'ala in a place called Sahba. Amazing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba to lay out the leather mat. There was no cards printed before that, no telephone calls, there was no elaborate preparation. Lay out the dastarkhan, lay out the leather mat. Whoever have whatever they have, present it. If somebody had a piece of bread, they presented it. If somebody had some cheese, they presented it. If somebody had any dish, they presented it. And that became the walima of the Rasul of Allah with Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala. What an amazing walima. Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat to follow the real sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we're saying we're doing a walima sunnah, let us follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to Madina Munawwara. He made Safiya radiallahu ta'ala sit behind her. Now, everybody was wondering, is Safiya a slave woman, or did she join the ranks of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the Mu'mineen? Is she a Mubarak wife of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or is she just a slave? So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put her behind the camel, and Nabi Sallallahu made her draw the curtain down, made her also wear the hijab. And then that was a clear indication that she has now joined the ranks of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the Mubarak wives of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When Nabi Kareem Sallallahu came to Madinah Munawwara, he put Safiya radiallahu ta'ala in the house of Harisa. He was a person living close to Masjid al-Nabawi, and in fact where the Mubarak wives, the house of the wives of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are, it is mentioned that it was given, donated by Harisa. So he was a very generous person. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put Safiya radiallahu ta'ala in the house of Harisa. And when, obviously, Hazrat Safiya being a coming from a Jewish background, so this created a lot of interest in the woman of Medina. How does she look? So many women came to the house of Haritha to come and see Safiya radiallahu anha. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha also came. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha also came, but she was also wearing her hijab. She was wearing her parda. So when she went away, after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Aisha radiallahu anha, that did you see Safiya? So she responded. Now obviously this was envy among the wives. This was envy among the wives, which is natural, and it is only to this natural exhibition in the Mubarak wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we are able to relate to them. Had they acted unnaturally, we would think that they are not an example for us. Nevertheless, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, yes, I've seen a Jewish woman. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then mentioned, her Islam is perfect. Subhanallah. Her Islam is perfect, referring to the Islam of Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came home. He saw Safiya crying. So he asked her, why are you crying? So I just met with Aisha and Hafsa, and both of them are telling to me, now bear in mind her background, as though she's a foreigner. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they told to Hazrat Safiya, Hazrat Aisha and Hazrat Hafsa, we are the husbands of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that is one virtue, but we supersede in another virtue in the sense that we are also related to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In other words, like we are more, we'd say like Arabs coming from the Quraysh, we are also family to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we have double virtue. You're only our wife. Nabi Kareem gave an amazing answer. Amazing answer to Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. Nabi Kareem told to Safiya, why didn't you tell? See, Allah the Rasul is teaching one wife how to answer the other wives. That why did you tell them to Aisha and Hafsa, your father is Harun, the Nabi of Allah? Because she come from the progeny of Harun alayhi salam. Your uncle is Musa, the Nabi of Allah. And your husband is Rasulullah. Subhanallah. Father is a Nabi of Allah, uncle is a Nabi of Allah, and your husband is the Nabi of Allah. Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, on one occasion, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, and these things we are mentioning it so that some incidents come to the fore and we could also make our islah. And these certain incidents happen in the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that it become a means of directive for us. That is why it is mentioned that if somebody, pious people of the past have done some wrong, that wrong becomes a means of hidayat and guidance for her, then we could even say that wrong is probably more virtuous than many of our rights. Nevertheless, it's not a general rule, but when we contextualize it in the lives of the wives of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then it would be true. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once went to the house. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha referred to Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Safiya, she's short. Now again, being the wife of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it was that mutual envy that she expressed such a statement. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned to Aisha, oh Aisha, you have made such a statement. Oh Aisha, you have made such a statement. Had that statement been put in the sea, it will make the entire sea more salty in spite of it being salty. In other words, those kind of statements you don't take out. Now, how often it happens, especially among women, one woman commenting against another woman. She's like this and she's like that. She's like this and she's like that. Not realizing the poisonous the nature of statements coming out from her mouth and hurting other women as well. And then on one occasion, it was during the Marzul Wafat, the demise of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when Safiya radiallahu anha observed the pain in Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She made a statement, she said, I hope the pain that is in the Nabi of Allah can be transferred in me and I bear the pain that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going through. Otherwise, looked at her Safiya. They thought that it was an expression as though something made up. Nabiya Kareem immediately went on the defense of Hazrat Safiya and told, Innaha la sadiqah. What she's saying is true. She really feels my pain and that is why she made that offer. Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, she passed away at the age of 50 and she is buried in Jannatul Baqi. And before concluding, at the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, somebody went and complained about Hazrat Safiya to Umar, telling that she still worships on a Saturday. Now the Jews, on the day of Sabbath, the Saturdays, they worship on that day. So they complained to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Safiya, she's worshipping on Sabbath, on the day of Saturday. And she got a lot of Jewish friends. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as his habit, investigated the issue. Asked Hazrat Safiya. She told, from that time I accepted Islam, I don't know what Sabbath is. I do what Islam tells me to do. The greatest day of Ibadat is a Friday. So I don't worship on a Sabbath, as a specific day of worship. And as far as meeting with Jewish people, they are my family. Jewish people, I'm meeting up with them. They are my family. And because of my family, I have to meet up with them. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted this uzar and this excuse and this explanation from Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala. We make dua, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala put the deep love of the Mubarak wives into our hearts and we feel proud with them. Not a single action of ours can be anywhere near them. That one thing for sure, that it is our love that we have with them that attaches ourselves with them. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.